Our Bibles to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read a few verses. We've already been over some material we've been through for some time to bring us up to one verse from which our text will be taken today. From Ephesians chapter 4, first three verses, after the doctrinal section of the book has been completed, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called," the vocation which you were called, "a walk worthy of that vocation, that calling, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Verse 17. With that idea of his entreaty that they might have a walk worthy of that calling. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walked, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of the heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off," this phrase is important, "concerning your former conduct," that you put off, "concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." That's the negative part. Here's the positive part. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind," change your mind, the way you think, "and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness." That's the positive part. "Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary, edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Last two sessions we had in this respect was the matter of putting off and putting on in respect to our conduct, our day-to-day lives, a walk worthy of the vocation to which we are called, a walk worthy of the new Christian, the new creation in Christ, suitable for a person created to bear the image of God in Christ Jesus. And now we are about to enter a section where he gets down to some details and some specifics. He has said to put off the old man in respect to our conduct, put on the new. And so he begins to deal with these. And appropriately, very prominent in the first verses, he takes up this matter of worthy communications, the way we talk, or the way we speak. And sometimes not necessarily tongue, but the tongue is generally associated with it, because we do communicate many times without necessarily without talking. We write. And we also give impressions and communicate with folks another way. So, mainly this matter of a worthy communication. Communications that is fitting and appropriate for a new creature in Christ, the new man. First of all, he does, he picks up this matter of lying. Now, I don't want you to look around each other and try to figure out who I'm preaching to, who've been lying. We're going to see, and although we might think preaching no lying to us? Is that all you've got to preach to us? You look at us like we're a bunch of liars? Well, I want to remind you that this is a letter that the apostle wrote to a church that he had great gratitude and thankfulness to God for folks who had been called out of darkness and no longer like they once were, and they've forsaken their idols and they love each other fervently and they've been sealed with the Spirit, and he has great cause to thank for them. And then he got to them and tell them quit lying. What'd you do if somebody walked up to you and said, won't you quit lying? Well, that'd be somewhat of a shock, wasn't it? What have I lied to you about? But here's what he says. He says, therefore, putting away lying. And each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Well, this is a most appropriate place to begin if we're going to talk about our living, our Christian living, and our walk and our behavior, how different it ought to be, contrasting between the old man and the new man. It's very appropriate. Lying was the first sin that appeared in the earth after the creation of man. Did you ever stop and think about that? The first sin we have recorded in the Bible was a lie. Anybody know who told it? Who? The devil did. That's right. The devil did. Yeah. Of course, he's the father of lies and the father of every lie. That's a good point. It's the first sin that appeared on the earth after the creation of man, and it was a lie about the truth and a slander upon God. Yea, hath God said, and God had said, he had definitely said that, and he comes back and says, hath God said? And then he says, God, what God said is not true. It's a lie about God and about the truth. And it was the means that was employed to secure the first sin that man committed. He committed it because of a lie that was told. Not only is it appropriate to begin here because it's where sin began in this world, but it is likely the most common sin because it's the easiest sin to commit. It takes no energy, takes no thought, takes no intelligence, takes no skill, takes no courage. In fact, it helps to be a coward, lie. It's the easiest one to commit. It is quite likely the first sin that any of us ever committed. In fact, the Bible says concerning children, they come forth from the womb speaking lies. Even before they learn to talk, they lie. It rises quickly and naturally from an unruly tongue. James says, the tongue is that unruly member that no man can tame. They tame all manner of beasts. They tame great ships. They're driven around by fierce winds. But the tongue, man can't tame. All of us do it. Now, do not imagine that you are accepted. The ignorance and conceit of such proud assertions as, I don't lie. I'm not a liar. I don't lie. And I've heard some parents who were under some sort of illusion that their kids were better than other kids says, my kids don't lie. In fact, I've had parents tell me that, and I buttonholed one of them and asked him what he did, said, I didn't do that. And the daddy looked at me and said, my boy don't lie. You don't know his boy very well. You don't know your boy. You don't know our children very well. I taught them not to. None are accepted. How else could the Scripture tell us all to put away our lying? Not only do we lie, we do much more of it than we think we do. I mentioned that one time to a person who at that time went to this church, and his eyes got big and he got shot. And he said, we, all of us lie more than we think we do? Yeah. You mean we lie when we don't know we lie? Well, we do that too, but sometimes we lie when we know we lie. Now, there are many varied ways in which we do it. The bald-faced, premeditated lie is abundant, plenty of them told, but it probably represents a relatively small amount of the total lies being told. We lie when we know someone is assuming something positive about us that is not true, and we deliberately let them believe it. A fella came over to the house. I've been working on over at Billy's house one time. He looked around the house. In fact, he was doing something else, I think. He said, if you, the carpenter, had built this house, you sure did a good job. Well, I walked around and let him believe that a little while before I told him any different. I just thought that was nice for somebody to think that I could do a good job. But all that time, he was looking out over and admiring me. I lied to him. Every once in a while, someone gets an impression about you that you know is not so, but it feels good anyhow to let them think. You didn't tell them that. They just got that. But you go ahead and let them believe that. You lied to them. Now, when by any means, if by any means we plant a false impression, even though we don't actually state the fact, the essence of all commercial advertising is lying. Tickles me sometimes when these legislators get on and say, well, we want to pass a law, and some of these advertisers are not being truthful about their advertising. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it incredible that after all these years, all these folks, their mouth is open, they are aghast, they shocked, that the tobacco companies all these years knew that tobacco was addictive and harmful. And they're acting like they're just now finding it out. Well, everybody's known that all along. Everybody just lying about it. Most of the time, if we're not very, very careful when we're engaged in sales, whether we're selling merchandise or selling services, we'll lie. We will tell someone the product is better than it is, or better than somebody else's product. If it's a service, we will tell them they need this service when we know good and well they can get along quite well without it. We will plant the impression in their mind that they're going to miss a big bargain if they don't do something right away. You ever get talked to like that? It's lying. Most political posturing, courting votes, attacking opponents, promoting legislation and projects are misrepresentations and lies. They call it putting a spin on something sometimes. He did lie about it. They say Mr. Clinton prevaricated. Anybody know what prevaricated means? It means he lied. They say what he did was not perjury, not a living a lie, but it wasn't perjury. Well, if a lie isn't perjury, somebody... That's the way lawyers mess with the law. But a lie is a lie, regardless of whether it meets the qualifications for perjury or not. It's a lie. If you intend to deceive someone, regardless of what you say, the words are immaterial. If your intention and your word and the whole, even if you didn't succeed, you lied. If that's the object, to give a false impression, it's a lie. When we hide facts relevant to the thing under consideration, we lie. Now, we're not lying simply because we don't tell everything we know. Here's a man, here's a person that a lot of folks are admiring, and you know something bad about him. Well, it isn't necessary that you blab everything you know about them so those folks won't be under the impression that he's a good man, because if everybody told everything that was bad about us, we'd all be pretty badly slandered. So we don't have to tell everything we know. But when something is under consideration and it needs to be brought to light and you hide certain things, even though you don't say a word, you lie. When we tell only part of a truth, when we bring up something and tell only part of a truth, we lie. We will say, well, I didn't tell that part because really you need to know the other part. If you knew this part right here, you wouldn't really be you need to believe that other part. If I told you this part, I know, you're lying. We don't give all the facts. Someone said a half-truth is a whole lie. We lie when we flatter people. When we only pretend to admire and like them. We lie. Now, I don't say that you need to go up to folks and look them in the face and scowl at them and say, I don't like you. But when we fawn over people and we can't stand and flatter them and try to pretend that we really admire them and like them, we lie. We lie when we smile or laugh at their sayings and their jokes, when in truth they are boring and disgusting to us. And I think that's the time some of us ought to be a little bit more truthful about the conversation that we're hearing. Likely, more lies than truths are sung and prayed in religious meetings. People sing lies and pray lies when you're in church. The preacher lies when he misuses Scripture. When he uses another man's words as if they were his own. When he tells a story as if it happened to him. It didn't happen to him, it happened to someone else. But it sounds more vivid if he tells it in the first person. When he reports conversions or revival or powerful and miraculous works of God which are spurious, false, or non-existent fabrications, and don't think that sort of lying doesn't abound among men of the cloth. We lie when we poor mouth and misrepresent our financial status. We act like we're poor or poorer than we are, to invoke some people's sympathy, or maybe to hide our prosperity, lest they should expect us to be generous or to do some things for them. Why do we lie? Why do we do it? Well, sometimes we do it inadvertently and unconsciously. The lie just pops out. That ever happened to you? You lied and you didn't intend to, it just come out. And after you went ahead and said it, you don't want to say, I lied about that, and so you let it stand. But when we lie deliberately, we do it in order to gain an advantage over someone that the truth will not permit. We lie to cheat. Lying and cheating and stealing all go together. They're part of an inseparable trio. We lie in order to cheat or to defraud someone or to deny and cover up our cheating and our fraud. We lie to steal or to cover up the fact that we have stolen. We lie because of pride. We lie to make ourselves look better than we actually are. To hide our inadequacies, our weaknesses, and our sinfulness, and our shamefulnesses. We don't want to confess them, we don't want to face them, we want to look better. We lie to make people admire us and like us and fear us. We lie to gain power over people. When we lie, we are manifesting cowardice and unbelief because we fear God. We fear man more than God. The man doesn't know you're lying, but God does. You're pulling the wool over the man. You think about that a little bit. I was talking to a brother last week, and he was telling me that they have this system in the church where they one-on-one discipling. See, it's kind of like a pyramid. One fellow disciples another fellow, and then those two disciple two more, and those two disciple two more, and after a while you've got a whole bunch of folks that's discipled and trained. I told him I didn't believe in that. That a person ought to be discipled and trained and ordered by the whole church, not one person. Well, he said, that way you've got somebody you've got to be accountable to. You're discipling him, you watch him, and he watches you, and you all have to behave yourself. And I looked at him, and I said, what is the biggest deterrent to sin to you? What is it that makes you run from sin more than anything else? He thought about it a minute, and he said, the fear of God. I said, sure, of course. But you mean that you've got to have these two guys more afraid of each other than they are of God? See, the lie denies the presence of God in which we are lying. And so it's more of the fear of man than it is of God. And finally, in connection with the whole thing that he's dealing here is, we've grown accustomed to doing the will of the father of lies. We're talking about putting off the old man, our old behavior, the way we've lived. We're talking about putting on the new man. And the nuts and bolts, where the rubber hits the road on this, it becomes the same personal individual. Things that we have done, the way we've lived, and the way we've ordered our lives in the past. And so we ought to think a little bit now about why we should not lie. And once again, we're speaking to Christians here, believers, people who have become believers, Christians, walking with the Lord. Why we should not lie. What's so bad about lying? We talk about innocent lies, little lies, white lies. Are there such a thing? It was a lie, and we've already remarked on this, it was a lie that promoted the first sin that brought death and ruin and every consequent evil into the world. It made sinners of all of us. It corrupted the whole of God's good creation. Just a little lie. When we lie, we consort with the devil, who is the father of the lie. We're told that in John 8 and 44, when Jesus looked at some Pharisees, very religious people, and said, you are of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. And when he tells a lie, he's the father of it because it comes from him. Where do lies come from? Are they just kind of floating around in the universe? Are there something that we manufacture and create in our minds? We have that capacity. A falsehood, where does it come from? You see, everything has an ultimate origin. If Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, If all goodness comes from God, where does a lie come from? Well, our Lord tells us, the devil. He is the father of all lies. They come from him. We have forgotten that our former life and the way that we lived was walking according to the prince of the air, the prince of this world. Who is that? That's the devil. We didn't naturally. It was part of our lives, a part of the way we were made up. Not only that, when we lie, we take on the basic character and the mindset of the mold of the world, which is intensely a habitation of deceit. Read this passage with me, if you will, please, from Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9 and the first 6 verses. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And like the bow, they have bent their tongue for lies. They're not valiant for truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord. Everyone take heed to his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. Everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your habitation, that's where you dwell, that's where you live, this world we live in, is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, says the Lord. This is the character of this present wicked world. It is a habitation of deceit. Lying and deceit are so common in the world that men routinely expect not to be told the truth, but to be lied to. That's one reason that we could not get a rise in public indignation about our president looking to us on the television and lying to us with a straight face. Everybody done come along and said, well, don't you lie? Hadn't you lied? Well, don't you do that? If you'd done that, wouldn't you cover it up too? Now, if you'd done something like that, you wouldn't tell the truth about it, would you? And this is a common thing. All our laws and our whole judicial system is predicated upon it. That's the reason you've got these little signs around in the country that says, notary public. What's that for? Well, if you're going to have a transaction, if you're going to buy something, you're going to sell something, you go to that fellow who's got a piece of paper then and says, yeah, I know this fellow, and I look at him, and he's who he said he was, and he's not lying about this, and this is so. That's the reason before they will accept your testimony before a court, you've got to say, I ain't going to lie about this. I'm going to tell the truth. I couldn't just say, hey, you got some tell? Yeah, I'll tell you. Okay, come tell us. No, we ain't going to do that. First of all, you got to swear not to lie. Otherwise, we'll expect you to lie. That's the reason people use phrases like this, well, to tell the truth. You ask somebody, well, to tell the truth. Well, the honest truth. Well, folks expect to be lied to. The whole system is that way. It's born and created to root out the lie. Laws are all passed in that direction that men cannot be trusted. They're all liars and deceivers. I'm not being skeptical and cynical here. This is the truth. This is the darkness that we live in. We're not of that element anymore. That's the reason he comes up with this right at the beginning. 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, they don't teach it anymore. Therefore, those got lied to. I wonder what they learned today. It always, everything is changing. Nobody knows. The whole world lies in darkness. And the church, the Christian, is the only light in it. When the Lord was here, He was the light of the world. John tells us, this was the light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. If he gets into light, it'll have to come from Christ. In Him was light, and light was the life of man. But now we're the light. And how can we possibly walk around and be the light and still have the character of darkness and deception and delusion? And so this is his first admonition, the putting off of the old man. We come now to the positive part. What should we do? Well, he simply says, put it away. In the same manner we are told to put off the old man, to be done with it, to lay it aside, as a garment or as a tool that you no longer have any use for. You're not going to use that tool anymore. You're not going to use that, and that's something that you have no use for at all. You abandon it. Put it aside. I know some folks that this has got such a grip on them. They're going to have to pray about it every day, that you put a watch guard over my mouth and nothing but truth comes out. There are compulsive liars. There are psychopathic liars. There are people who lie. As once someone says, you climb a tree to tell a lie when you could stand flat-footed and tell the truth. They lie when it would be easy to tell the truth. They got problems. They got demonic problems in it. But it needs to be gotten rid of. It's scandalous and outrageous that Christians should lie. Put it away. And the positive part is, we should speak truth to our neighbor. Well, here's the neighbor in this case. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Who is the neighbor that I am a member of and he's a member of me? Is it my unchristian neighbor? No. Who is a neighbor that is a member of me and I'm a member of him? Christian brothers, right? Christian brothers and sisters. So what he's talking about here is for us to stop lying to each other. Right? That's all. When you go to make out your income tax, you know, they're not Christians, the government's not Christian, so it'll be all right, cheat a little on that. Lie about that. Right? You don't like that? If you're saying we just don't lie to Christians, all right, lie to non-Christians, you know that they lie anyway. They deserve it. No. The big problem with that is, we're going to talk a little bit about this a little bit further on, show you what's wrong with that. It has to be a Christian brother. Well, the strong argument is that we should not lie to one another because we are members one of another. The most powerful argument here. When we lie to our brother, we lie to ourselves. Truth, veracity, faithfulness, dependability, trust is absolutely essential in the communion of the church. This is the thing that shocked me so much in my earliest church experiences. You couldn't depend on anybody. People tell you they're going to do things, wouldn't do it. I mean just like wouldn't do it. I don't mean forgot about it. They just wasn't doing it. Wasn't planning to do it when they told you they're going to do it. They tell you they're going to be someplace at a particular time, well, don't count on it. Nobody could ever get to church on time. Now, fussing about you folks will get here a little bit late. So, I mean, at least you're consistent in that. Count on it. But I'm talking about folks that didn't have 50 miles to drive. Or they did walk across the street. The older one never got there on time. We'd move time back a little so they could get there. What they did, they moved their time back a little bit. What is this? I will shake my head about that. These people have no integrity. They're undependable. How can this be Christian? Absolutely necessary for the Christian communion, and we're talking about communion, is vitally linked to the credibility of our communications. When I look at you and when you look at me and we speak, we can count on what we hear. Now, it is not a lie when I tell someone I'm going to do something and I'm not able to do it and I can't do it. At that case, I need to say why. There are times also when I say I'm going to do something and I find out I shut off my mouth too quick and that would be a bad thing if I did it and I'm not going to do it anymore. And I need to tell folks I'm not going to do that. I was wrong about it. I didn't lie, but I was wrong about that. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. Not going to be like Jethro went ahead and sacrificed his daughter. Old Herod went ahead and cut off the preacher's head. That's worse than the lie. If you're wrong about something, say I'm wrong. I wasn't lying when I said that, but wrong. That's not a lie. But the credibility of our communications, that people can depend upon it. It ought to be. So, the good standing in the Christian church is all the guarantee you need for someone to be able to depend upon your word. We belong to the same body and to one another. And the integrity of our oneness is compromised if we cannot absolutely, without question, believe in one another. Terrible if I got to look at a brother in the face and say, I can't trust this guy. We're going to talk. We're going to do things together. We're going to work together. We're going to commit ourselves to one another. We're going to put our lives in each other's hands. It's absolutely necessary that we have this integrity. Also, none of the reasons that are stated above about how we lie can stand as a motive for not being absolutely truthful to our brother in Christ. We don't want to gain advantage over him, do we? Do we want to cheat or defraud him? Do we want to steal from him and cover our thefts? Do we want to make ourselves look better than we actually are? Do we want to hide our inadequacies, our weaknesses, sinfulness, and shamefulness? It would be best if you just confess them and say, brother, pray for me. I'm a sorry fellow. Ain't much to me. I need prayer. To make them admire us and fear us, to gain power over them, none of those will stand, not in our communications, one with another. They can't stand. As consistently as the world expects to be lied to, believers ought to be expect the truth from one another. Darkness can only expect darkness. Light ought to expect nothing but light. Is your light not darkness? We'll get into that a little further on. We're Christian. That word means little Christ. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. As lies are instruments of demonic bondage, so also it's truth that sets a man free. Notice what he says here in verse 29. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. When we're talking to each other, are we imparting grace to one another? Now, taking up this matter now of lying, no more lying to one another, speaking the truth to one another, should we speak the truth to others? The lies to others. If we are able to be truthful to one another, to forbear lying to them, will we be able, when we come down here, when we meet one another, and say, this is my brother in Christ, I've got to speak the truth to them, I will speak the truth to them, I don't want to lie to them, I'm not going to lie, and we'll go out and say, well, this is a man of the world, now I can go back to lie. Can you do that? No, it's impossible. Lying is a mindset. We lie because we're liars, and we're no longer liars, we're not liars. We don't lie. It's something that arises out of what we are. We cannot put on the new man. One moment and the old one the next. I don't know if you remember what we've been reading back in these passages there when he says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ being ordering your lives. He's the light, he's the truth. And if he's still dwelling there, when you go out from among the church people, is Christ still in your heart? Was the Christ that told the truth while you were among Christians, has he become a liar in the world? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. No, what you are right here, you'll be out there. Continuously. Regardless of whose company you're in. Our conscience won't put up with it. Our new heart won't let us do it. What did we say about that new man and that new heart in respect to sin? Somebody tell me. How much sinning can he do? None. You can't do that. As a light of the world, we are especially to shine in darkness. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's even more so that our truthfulness ought to appear there. Our profession of the Christian faith ought to be, in the eyes of men, the seal of our veracity and the certification of our truthfulness and dependability. Here's an employer who likes to hire Christians. He looks around to find some Christians. He hires all the Christians he can find. You say, well, here is a compassionate man that really loves God's people, and he's trying to help God's people by giving them a good job and just hiring Christians. I don't think so. He's found out that Christians make the best employees. You have to watch them all the time. They'll give him good day's work. They'll tell him the truth if they are Christians. Yes. If this be too ideal, too great a wonder to expect in Christianity in general, it's certainly not too much for each one of us and for me to set forth in this habitation of deceit, this old deceitful, lying, wicked world, a wonder of truthfulness and veracity to the glory of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, who is light and truth. Amen.